You are listening to Adagio Fits, Clarissa Explains It All, podcast number 8, The Six Dimensions of Wellness, part 3, Occupational, Intellectual, and Social Health. I am so grateful to be here on this beautiful day. Welcome to any of my new listeners. Did you guys know that we are finally on iTunes? And I am so excited. It took me a lot to get there. And I was just really excited that I had a whole bunch of episodes already up and that we are now up and running. So you can subscribe to me on iTunes. And I know that that will help reach a lot more people. So I'm really excited. So welcome to any of you who are new and listening. How was your week? Did any of you celebrate Cinco de Mayo this past weekend? My mom was in town and Cinco de Mayo is her birthday. So we had a big birthday celebration. And then I worked it off this morning in a killer full body weights class that I teach locally. And I'm definitely feeling it this afternoon. So I had a great weekend. Did you guys get online and download the weekly workout goal sheet? I offer freebies every week. I'll be uploading something to my website in the resources tab. And you can find the resources by registering for a free membership on Adagio Fit. And then you click on Welcome Members and in the menu tab and then resources. And I have a new one coming out this week too that is already being utilized by me. And I'm excited for that. You can find that one in phone backgrounds. So go check out and see what we're all about over there in our member resources. All right. So we are in podcast number 8. We are in part 3 of a 4-part series. And the last podcast was part 2, and it was on physical wellness. And if you are just joining us, you might want to jump over to podcast number 6, where I introduce the 6 dimensions of wellness and talk about how to rate yourself on them and how to make goals in those so that you can be caught up to date with us. So check out 6, check out 7, and we are number 8 right now. We talk about a spectrum of wellness, and it's on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being morbid death in that area, and 0 being no signs or symptoms, and 4 being no signs and symptoms, and 7 being growth and education on up to optimal health and wellness in these areas. We talk about that in podcast number 6, but I wanted to kind of go over that. So in case you don't have time to go listen to that one, you can still listen to this one and understand when I'm talking about a spectrum. That's what I'm talking about. So one is that this area is very ill and not doing well, all the way up to 7, where we have this growth and expansion and a zest in this area for living. In episode 6, I also have a link to a free worksheet, which you can also find in our member resources. But it's a link to a worksheet that is the health and wellness worksheet, dimensions of wellness worksheet, that you can download. You can make your goals on there. You can rate yourself on there. And it has our spectrum, the graphic of our spectrum on that. All right. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk about occupational, intellectual, and social wellness. So the 3 of those. So occupational, what is our occupation? An occupation is anything that you do for a job or a profession. And in Adagio Fit, we mainly focus on mothers as the occupation. But these thoughts flow over and these tools flow over into any side gig or a main career. So keep that in mind as you're listening. So in our occupational wellness, what does it look like if we are on the spectrum of 1 to 4? When you look at the unwell end of the spectrum, you're going to see somebody whose occupational outlook is really dim. In a mother's occupation, it would be like somebody choosing to react instead of choosing to act. That they blow their lids super fast, super easy, that they complain about their kids and they just don't want anything to do with it, to, you know, do with their job and their responsibilities. You know, you can get your own dinner. And sometimes that's done because a mother could maybe get lazy, but other times that can be done because a mother may be dealing with other areas of wellness that are not healthy. And when one area isn't healthy, other ones tend to also, you know, not be healthy. And so we need to make sure that we are keeping balance, that special word, balance, where we can continue to get ourselves out of the 1-4 zone and head from a 4-7 zone. So it might be that a mother is not fully engaging and is just going through those motions. You know, tell me what to do and I'll get it done. And whether it's done well or it's not, it's done. So my main thoughts here fall around dinner time in my occupation of being a mom. I can get dinner on the table. I can do a pretty good junky job of it if I want to. You know, I can drag my feet. I can complain. I can be impatient when nobody comes to the dinner table when I call for them. And when my family sits down, I can say something like, eat this and don't say a word. Just eat the food that I made for you. But we can also turn that around, and we're going to talk about, you know, 4-7, what it looks like when we're really being fully engaged in what we're doing and we understand our purpose, and it adds a fullness to our occupation. Something that could cause you to be from a 1-4 is missing rewards. That sounds kind of funny as a mother, but I know that as a business owner and watching my husband as he owns a business, that if there isn't a reward system in place for his employees, or that he has a reward system in place, but the employees are missing it, missing those rewards because of their focus on maybe something negative, that they're not occupationally healthy. They're not happy with their jobs. So as a mother, we need to make sure that we put rewards in place, not necessarily food rewards. Food is not a reward. It is fuel. And it is also not a punishment. It is fuel. Food is fuel for our bodies. I will continue to say that over and over throughout these podcasts. So we need to make sure that we have rewards, whether that's, you know, time to ourselves, time in the tub with a bath fizzy. I know those are really popular right now. A walk around the block. I know that the other day I was really missing my rewards, and so I made myself go out and walk around the block, and that felt really good. When you look at our fitness, that worksheet that you can download off Member Resources, that also, you make a goal, and then there's also a reward. So maybe you need to make a reward for motherhood too as well. So you can say, I'm going to make it through Monday through Thursday, and on Friday, instead of working, I'm going to take myself to the pool, or I'm going to take myself to the store to pick up something healthy for the weekend, okay? All right, so also something, and I think this is kind of what happens, this is what takes us from a 4 maybe down to a 3 and so on and so forth, is that we really lose the importance. We really lose the vision of why, and why we have this job, why we chose this occupation, where, and we lose sight of what our roles and responsibilities are and how we fit in the whole scheme of things. So we need to kind of zoom out. Instead of getting centered on the tasks, we need to pull away and ask ourselves why. And as a mother, I tend to lose sight of that so easy, especially with the world telling me I need to focus on what I'm producing, and that I'm only worth something if I have a sidekick, and if my motherhood almost appears as if it comes second. And I know we all say it comes first, but there are some people who it really is second to their business, and I have seen that. All right, so that's like if you're moving from a 1-4, like if you're in the bottom end of the spectrum and you're really unwell. Let's talk about somebody who may be fully well. So this is when you look forward to your job when you get out of bed. As a mother, that sounds hilarious, right? This can be really hard. But when you know what your role is and what kind of rewards are going to come, and when you choose to show up and do your best no matter what, you're really going to start looking forward to this. This is really about how we think, applying yourself fully into your occupation, doing a really good job, showing up no matter what the job will require for the day, not saying, oh, I can't believe so-and-so is going to spill the milk again. I'm going to have to clean that up. But you're like, you know what? I know how to clean up milk because I cleaned up milk yesterday. So I'm a pro at this. Maybe I cleaned up Kool-Aid yesterday. So I think of how I start my day off at 6 normally, and by the, like a 6 on the spectrum normally. And by the end of the night, I'm like a 1. I'm like, I am so done and I am so checked off. And I think that the reason that I am tanking so fast from like the hours of 5 down to bedtime is because I'm not taking a lunch break to fuel myself. So it's really important that we schedule in little daily breaks during the day and during the week, but also bigger blocks of time too. So I know a lady who takes a day off every month. She literally takes 24 hours and takes herself to a hotel every month. I can't do this. This is impossible for me or isn't necessarily a priority for me. But I really do tend to schedule breaks within my day or schedule something during the week. About Thursday or Friday, I really need to fuel myself. And only you can do this. You can't expect that other people are going to do this. So you can't expect that your husband's going to come home and say, you know what, why don't you sit down and take a break? You can't expect that. You have to do that for yourself. You have to say, you know what, text your husband, say, you know what, I'm really tired today. So when you come home, expect that you're going to be making yourself dinner and taking care of the kids so that I can have some time so that I can be a better mother in my occupation. Finally, I think it's really good to educate ourselves on our occupations. We're always constantly learning. We're going to get into intellectual next. But as a mother, about every third book that I read is on a perspective on parenting, or I have only girls, so how girls act so that I can be a better mom. I don't try and apply everything that I read in the books. That's really overwhelming. But I always come away with 2 or 3 things, I call them little truths, and I try to work and apply those into my life. Some books that I love. I love Love and Logic Parenting. I love Raising an Emotional Child by John Gottman. I love Girls Will Be Girls. And another book that I really like is How to Talk to Your Child About Sex by Richard and Linda Iyer. So if you aren't choosing to practice and grow and educate, if you aren't choosing to practice and grow, what are you choosing not to practice and kill? There we go. I finally got it down. All right, so the next section that we want to talk about is intellectual. So what is intellect? You know, our brain is so amazing. It's more advanced than the smartest computer in the world. Brains run automatically and they run manually. Operating on default versus intentional movement, our brain keeps us alive and also allows us to use our agency, right? So the world is in a place that is trying to null our sense of agency. How many times have you heard, I can't, or I just have no choice, or I have to? You know, if you really think about it, we do have a choice. And this is a really difficult concept to manage, that we have to manage our thoughts, but it will lead to a much deeper life because you will feel in control and empowered when you use your agency to make those choices, when you use your brain to make those choices. So when we look at intellectual wellness on the scale of 1 to 4, so on this really unwell end, I really feel like intellect is the easiest thing to let go. You know, if we are not progressing, we are digressing. And we as humans tend to be comfortable. We love to be comfortable. And I easily get comfortable and it seems like it feels good and I just want to stay where I'm at. You see this a lot in occupations. People get comfortable and stay where they're at and they don't grow and move up in the company, so to speak. What about being numb and not using any of our knowledge to go through life? You know, again, going through the motions and not applying what we know. I have a brother-in-law that has chosen not to read his scriptures anymore. And I'm not talking, you know, religion here. I'm just talking about a habit that he's chosen not to do anymore. And it's been really insightful to watch how easy it is to forget everything that we've learned. As I've watched him choose not to read, he, you know, a couple years later, he doesn't remember what characters come from what books in the scriptures and some of the stories and the lessons that are learned from them. And he's forgotten that. He hasn't used and applied that knowledge. So I've seen this like in my language skills. I used to know Japanese quite well. I could hold a pretty decent conversation. I could write it. I could sound it out. I pretty much knew. I took like 4 years of it. And now, since I haven't used it since I was 19, that I can remember to introduce myself and I can remember words, but I really can't hold a conversation and I can't really understand people when they're talking about it. So finally, on that unwell end of intellect, I think that the worst that we can do intellectually is when we choose to be prideful and choose to think that we know enough and don't need to learn anymore. So we instantly close ourselves off to the opportunity to learn. And I think that that is where we hit a really unwell pattern that is just going to tank us. So we need to beware and be weary of being prideful and being closed to learning. So on the other end of the spectrum, from this four, going from a four to a seven, this is where there is growth and education in order to reach wellness. We need to make time for ourselves to gain education. It's not just going to happen. We have to make time. Education can be anything from like taking school courses, like literally enrolling in courses. And there's so many free courses out right now. I'm actually taking a free course from Yale University. It's the really popular course on what is happiness and how to be happy. And it's been really fun to take and do the assignments. I'm not graded on it. It's just kind of a pass-fail. And I really have loved the knowledge that I've gained from that. So you can do it from even reading articles and books and listening to something like this podcast so that you are taking in and educating yourself. And this is all really great. I want to call this consuming. When we're taking in education, we're consuming it. And consuming is really good because we need to have the knowledge. We need to have those statistics and those sentences in our brain. But intellect will only be good if we apply what we are learning. So how many times have you listened to maybe my podcast? It could be seven. Maybe it's more than seven at this point. Maybe you re-listen to something, but I only have seven out. So you listen to seven podcasts and you think, oh, this is wonderful. This is so insightful. I can't wait to share this with other people. But for yourself, have you ever really applied the tools that somebody has talked about in their podcast? I've done that a lot where I'm like, this is so great. And I write down a quote and I share the quote, but I don't necessarily use the quote for myself. Like I don't apply that to myself. You don't take the knowledge. So, you know, that level, yeah, we're leveling up because we're gaining that education. But if we don't apply it and grow from it, growth is kind of at the upper end. This is like a six or seven when we're growing, that we won't ever reach optimal intellectual wellness. So not only making time for education, we need to be willing to listen and learn. So I love Brooke Castillo. I don't know if you guys know who she is. She is an amazing life coach. And she has a podcast that I listen to. And in one of her podcasts, she talks about keeping yourself open to education and growth. And in order to do that, you're supposed to ask yourself, am I willing to be wrong? What if I have been wrong about this whole thing? And as you ask yourself, you ask yourself those two questions, am I willing to be wrong? And what if I have been wrong about this whole thing? Then we can keep ourselves open to learning and we can take out our bias and our closed off. Asking advice for and help when we don't understand something, instead of shutting off and saying, I'm just not going to do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm not going to ask. I'm too scared to ask. That's going down the spectrum. So we need to ask for help and advice to continue to grow. And finally, our intellect is how we think. So we need to choose to look at life with a positive outlook. And doing that can seriously get us out of the low end of the spectrum and raise us up just by changing how we think. That is what I do as a coach, as a health coach, is I help you change how you think mentally and about your mental capacity and your physical capacity, which then helps all these six dimensions of wellness. So ultimately, our brains are so efficient, but they like to be comfortable. So staying in the high numbers here on the end of our spectrum of 4 to 7 is constant work. We need to get curious. We need to learn and apply and choose positive thinking. So the final area is our social area of wellness. The final area we're going to talk about today. We have two more next week. So social wellness is our interactions and relationships with another human. It involves using good communication skills, having meaningful relationships, respecting yourselves and others, and creating a support system that includes like family member and friends. So 1 to 4, what does it look like when we are socially unwell? Well, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about what happens after I have babies. I am not socially well postpartum. My postpartum journey is really dark, and it specifically takes me into a dark place socially as an effect of what happens to my body and my mind. I withdraw and I cannot hold conversations. I'm not comfortable with myself, and so I don't want others to see or look at me. You know, my body's not well after having a baby, so I don't want people to judge me. I get really preoccupied with all of the thoughts going around in my head. This stems from part of my mental disorder, but it also stems from being very aware of what other people think about me. So in my brain, I struggle to hold conversations with other people because in my brain, I'm having 8 or 9 arguments going on at the same time. You know, should I say this? Should I say that? What are they going to think about me? Oh my gosh, my face, my body. And it so much is going on in my brain that I really can't hold a conversation. And this causes a lot of shame and a lot of fear that I won't be able to have a conversation if somebody asks me questions. And so I really pull away. And when I feel some of these things, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg on what happens postpartum. But when I feel those things, then I start feeling like I have nothing to offer. And I pull out of all forms of socializing. Like I get off social media. I can't respond to my clients. I really struggle with that. And so that's what a 1 to 4 looks like. It's really painful. And I've been there, and I have been there often. And I want you to know that there's hope, that you can grow and change, and we can educate ourselves. And it really does start with education. It really does start with getting to know who you are and what you need, which is part of what I do as a coach. I'm an outside perspective, helping you learn who you are and helping you grow and change, not change who you are, but emphasize and empower you to be the best you. So that's what I do as a coach. So when we head into a 4 to 7, this is when you are confident and comfortable with yourself. This is when you know who you are and that it doesn't matter what others think of you, that you are worth something and you have something to offer. being socially healthy means you don't need likes and thumbs up to feel good about yourself or to affirm your point of view, and that you can take feedback and that's positive and negative, and you can work with that, and you can healthily, is that a word, healthily, that you can ask yourself in a healthy way the questions of, you know, maybe is this negative feedback right? Maybe is there something I could change and work on instead of feeling so affected by that? In social situations, you can listen and respond. I'm really working on listening. It hasn't been one of my fortes ever, and I'm determined to make that a strength. So I'm actually reading and studying on how to listen to better. So not only do we need to listen, but we need to be active listeners. We need to mirror. We need to rephrase. We need to clarify, asking clarifying questions. Not thinking far ahead in the conversation, like, oh, what am I going to say next? Oh, I got a good response to that. But listening to what the person has to say before we make our response. It's okay to have silence in a conversation to think. Nonverbal listening is really great too, you know, nodding your head, looking at somebody in the eyes who's talking. You can see somebody's nonverbal listening by, like, what if somebody's on their phone, they're looking down, they're thinking about something else, they're really not listening to you. Something else, you know, not talking about yourself too much, asking other people's questions. When we are on our electronics or when we talk about ourselves, we're missing connection. And we as human beings need connection so much. While we're talking about social wellness, I want to put a word in here about introverts and extroverts. And eventually I'm going to get to a podcast about this. You guys, I have a whole list of podcasts that I want to talk about. But this one really hit me when I learned about introversion and extroversion. It was really important to me. Introversion. Introverts gain energy by being alone. And when they are with people socially, it depletes them of energy. Okay? Extroverts gain energy by being with other people. And when they are alone, it depletes them of energy. So, I am an introvert. I gain my energy by being alone. So, we have to really be careful how we define introversion and extroversion, because it comes across the introvert, being an introvert is not a good thing. I grew up being ashamed that I wanted to be alone, that I needed to have time alone. This is not necessarily a bad thing. It is just the way that we gain energy and we're able to be creative. All right, so, but even as an introvert and even as an extrovert, we need people. If you find yourself going, oh, look at those two people who are shopping together. They're so lucky to be out together. I notice this when I see, like, moms and daughters together. I'll go, oh, that looks like so much fun. They are so lucky to be together. In my mind, that's a flag for me that I need to make time to be with my girlfriends. Or if I say, oh, look, they came to the swimming pool all alone. Oh, man, I'd really like some alone time. That's a flag for me that I also need to balance myself by spending some time alone. This can happen with introverts and extroverts, right? If we see somebody with somebody else or a group of people and we desire that, we probably need some time socially, being socially active. If we see people on their own and we are kind of envying that, then we need to spend some time alone. Okay. My last point on the social wellness side of things, think about your closest friends and family. Think about the people you spend the most time with. Studies have shown that we can only have about 5 really close friendships and relationships. And the 5 people we spend time with, we tend to become like those 5 people. So my last question for you is, who are you becoming by who you are spending your time with? And is that helping you be socially well, or is that causing maybe some social unwellness there? All right, guys, we talked about occupational, intellectual, and social wellness today. the last episode, episode 7, was on physical wellness, and we'll finish up next week with the last two areas. So we talked about what things look like throughout the low end of the spectrum and into the high and the well end of the spectrum. And I hope that this gives you areas that you can choose to better focus on yourself and make those goals to move up the spectrum. So reevaluate yourself. Take that worksheet, look at what you scored yourself at, and make some goals according to that to help yourself become well in these areas. Thank you guys for listening today. I'm kind of struggling with my voice. It kind of has disappeared a little bit. So thanks for listening as I sound a couple octaves lower today. As I mentioned before, we are now on iTunes. So go subscribe to us through iTunes and or any app that you use and give us a rating. Please go rate us on iTunes. It just gives a little bit and I will take your feedback and I will use that to make my weaknesses become strengths and keep growing my strengths as well to better serve you. If you have any questions or comments about the areas that we talked about today, or frankly anything, you can leave your thoughts below in the comments section under the show notes, and that is on our website at adagiofit.com/episode07. Something else that you can do, if you become a member on our member resources page, there is a tab under the welcome members menu that is called Ask Me Anything. And I would love for you to ask me anything. This is kind of an open forum. You can submit a question. I will post my answer and then that will be on the website forever and ever and ever. And then you can refer back to that and other people can also have those questions. So it's a great place for you guys to go and ask your questions. This registration for member resources is free. So all you have to do is click on account and log in or register. And you can find all of our free resources, downloads. Eventually, we'll have videos up there. It's great after you sign in. And I plan on putting up something new every week. Finally, for something new for the month of May, I am going to do a free online coaching class. This is Wednesday, May 23rd at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And the class is going to be on self-love. I really feel like in any area of our life, we can't make change until we accept who we are and love ourselves first. So you can find more details about that and you can sign up at adagiofit.com/enroll and you can click on the May class and there's details and a bigger description about what the class has to offer and you can grab your spot when you click there. I'm going to put a link into this episode to sign up for that free online coaching class. So it's about 40 minutes long, and I can't wait to share with you the things I've learned about self-love and give you tools so that you can better love yourself. Okay, remember, you are amazing already. You are doing great. Apply yourself, learn, grow. Hang in there with optimism. Give a positive outlook for the day. Go get some sunshine. And I can't wait to see you and talk to you next week for part 4 of our 4-part series on the 6 dimensions of wellness. See you guys later.